So in today's first reading, you know, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet for the Lord. And in the first chapter of that wonderful book of the prophet Jeremiah, it says that before you were knit together in your mother's womb, I called you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations, to speak the truth on my behalf, to call people back to fidelity to the covenant. And so he heard those words and then went off on his journey and then found that people didn't accept those words. So in the first reading today, Jeremiah is demoralizing the troops, and he's just a prophet of pessimism and doom and gloom. Get rid of him. Let's just throw him into a mud cistern and leave him to die. And so that's what they did. And of course, there was no water, so he sat down and he sank down into the mud, and then they lifted him out. But this caused a huge crisis of faith for him. And there's a part in that same book where he says, you know, every time I speak on behalf of the Lord, I'm just made fun of, derided, and just, you know, people aren't accepting this. I quit. I'm tired of this. I didn't sign up for this. And then it says he had this amazing recovery. But then I felt it in my bones. I must proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Because he went back to the first chapter. That's why I was created, to be a prophet for the Lord. And all of us are also prophets for the Lord. And so often when we experience derision and people attack us for our faith, instead of kind of coming forward and saying, I feel in my bones, we withdraw and compromise because we would just want to get along with the world and kind of create this false sense of peace. And that's exactly what Jesus is addressing in the gospel today. If you think you can build a better world apart from God, apart from his redemptive love in Jesus Christ, that he took on the cross for the redemption of our sins and rose again to give us new life and gave us the Holy Spirit, then you're just creating a card house that's going to come crumbling down and fall down. And that's kind of the same society we're in today. We have a strong military. We have a strong economy. It's about everything except each person returning in their soul and their heart to love God with all their heart, mind, and strength. And isn't that the same reality in our world today? That we're living in a world where people think they can create a better world apart from God. And we've had thousands of years of history to prove that that doesn't work. And the most important thing that we can do as people of God in this church today is proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. The second read from Hebrews 12, 1-2. And that's what we have to do. We have to put our faith in God. But there's such a temptation to move away from that. And people have done that. And we just kind of go through the motions and do very few things that really help people come to a faith in Jesus Christ. And then we wonder why things are so wrong. And there's so much societal unrest, divisions, problems in our families and in our world today. It's because we've moved away from God. We bought into the lie from the enemy. God told you that. Oh, you can't believe God. Believe me. And people are listening more to the voice of the enemy than the voice of truth and of God, our Father, who loves us and wants us to come back to him. And so people who take their faith seriously are in a place where we realize that if we're really going to take this mission that God has given us seriously, we're going to experience a lot of persecution and suffering. And I think there are a small amount of people in the Catholic Church who are really attentive and listening to that message and willing to do that, but the rest have just kind of gone along with the way of the world. And they've conformed themselves. Do not be conformed to thinking this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so the readings today remind us that if we want true peace, then we have to come back to God first. That's always the most important thing in our lives. And how often, you know, our families, and I was thinking of this because something happened last week during our fishing trip, and we did get a lot of fish. Thank you for your prayers. I didn't get the biggest one, but we got a big fish. My dad got a 75-pound halibut. Thank God for that, yeah. Although the little halibut tastes better. Their meat's much more tender. So when they divided the fish up, he got the big fish, and he was a little upset about that. But, like, Dad, get over it. You've got lots of fish in your freezer. In fact, all of our freezers are overflowing with fish. So no complaints. But at any rate, something happened during the trip, and it caused me to get in a little spat with another family member. And yes, I do need to go to confession next week. Yes, I do. And it's because the enemy is always lying to us and trying to tell us that we can create a more just and better society apart from God. And so rather than praying in the Holy Spirit for a way to respond to this challenging situation, that would be helpful, I just reacted and said some very hurtful and wrong things. And it's like, I can't, it's like the Romans 7. The good I want to do, I don't do. And the bad I don't want to do, I do. What a miserable man I am. Have you ever had that experience in your life? Yeah, amen. Well, you don't have to stay stuck there. So you can go to confession and get back again to joy of salvation. Amen? I'm looking forward to that next week. Pray for me. So the enemy wants us to always live with a kind of false sense of peace where we put our faith in things and people that have little to do with conversion and God and growth and maturity and discipleship and so forth. So we have to pray against that right now in a special way, because I think our church is greatly deceived. We've kind of bought into the lie that, well, I don't have to pray. I have to go to confession. I don't have to work on my own conversion. We can change the world without changing ourselves. Does that really work? I don't think so. The saints knew that they reformed the church by reforming themselves, by falling more deeply in love with Jesus Christ, by what he did for us on the cross to save us from our sins, by receiving the Holy Spirit. And we need to hear that message more and more in the Catholic Church today. Amen? Amen. I don't think a lot of people are hearing that. And then lastly, we need to foster, and this is that book I read 2.5 years ago, Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher. And he quoted Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was in a concentration camp in Russia after the Second World War. And he just said how a society can just live by lies, where people just start lying and not telling the truth. And all of a sudden, one lie leads to another and another. And you just leave in this, you live in this whole society full of lies and deception. And that's very easy to happen. That's what happened in his society. So in the book, he says the key for Christians to survive is fostering fellowship with small groups and other believers. So spiritual friendships and, you know, getting together weekly, annually with other Christians who believe the same way you do, and you can pray with each other and support one another. The enemy strives to pounce on us, it says in 1 Peter, like a hungry lion waiting to devour its prey. And so if you watch the Animal Planet videos and nature videos online, you see that when a lion picks someone out, they separate them from the rest of the flock and then they pounce on them. So when we're together and we're sharing and praying together and having close spiritual friendships, we're stronger. Amen? So we need that. And God is so, well, God is good. Amen. But he just works in the most strange and mysterious ways. And so the week before we left, well, a day before we left for this fishing trip last week to Canada, somebody out of the blue contacted me who I really forgot about. So I was a resident advisor for 2 years. So what happened was this. I saw this keyboard demonstrated in Spokane at Music World. And I thought, I've never coveted in anything, but I have to have that keyboard. That is the most amazing device I have ever seen. It's making the most incredible noises. I have to have it. But then there was one small problem. It cost $3,000. And I was a poor college student paying for my own college and thinking, well, I can't afford that. So I made a bargain with God. I said, Lord, if you want me to have that keyboard, I'm going to apply to be a resident advisor. And that way I can save my room and board, not to pay for that. I'll work to pay for my room and board. And I get the keyboard and I'll play it for you in Mass every Sunday. I'll use that keyboard and play it for Mass for you. Well, you know what? The Lord said, okay, we can do that. So I went up to Spokane on Bloomsday weekend. It was called a Bloomsday Blowout. It was on sale. And I took my brother's car because I didn't have a car at that time. Mine broke down. And I bought that keyboard. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe I have this. But it was finals week. So I thought, oh my gosh, if I take that back to my dorm room, I'm going to flunk all my finals because I won't study. I'll play that keyboard, right? So I thought, well, I'm going to lock at my brother's apartment. And that way I won't be tempted to go play that keyboard. Well, guess what? I had a key to his apartment. I went and played the keyboard. Got my lowest grades ever in college that semester, but I got that keyboard. And I became a resident advisor. So my first year as a resident advisor was the worst year I had. I had very immature people on the hall who vandalized my room. Basically, the year was love your enemies. That's what I learned, love your enemies. And it wasn't a pleasant year for me at all in a number of ways. And so out of the blue, last Wednesday, before we left on this trip on Thursday, Somebody emailed me. He found my website. I guess it's the benefit of having a website online. And said, do you remember me? My name is Mike Eigelman. And I was on your floor the year you were as an advisor in 1990, 1991. Okay, I didn't remember him in all honesty. But he sent a photo of his ID. And I saw his picture. And I thought, okay, I could do vaguely remember you. But you know what he shared? He shared that his roommate was also a member of our choir, the Bandoliers. And we had gone to New York City and to Carnegie Hall to sing Beethoven's Ninth, and then to Kennedy Center, and I had a solo. I have 5 bars. I'm on the playbill, actually. I'm famous. Well, not really. But I had a solo for that, and it was an amazing trip. So he said, I remember you coming back and just how excited you were about that trip. And then, you don't know this, but my roommate, Lance, was part of your choir, and he led me into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't know him, but he shared the gospel with me, and I became a Christian because of him. And then another person on your floor, Stanton Walker, who's a friend of mine who was also in the choir with us and went to Carnegie Hall and all that, he taught me how to pray in the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, wow. And then he said, you know, I work in a Catholic hospital. I go to a full gospel church, which obviously isn't Catholic, but I also go to Catholic Mass. And I want to visit you in December when I come here to visit some family members or some friends. Are you open to that? I said, sure, I'm open to that. You know, God just makes the most amazing connections. But in my mind, that year was an awful year because so many bad things happened. I was talking to my mom on the phone in my dorm room and was around the corner. When I came around the corner, somebody had placed a pumpkin on the table in front of the sink that said, "Die, you maggot." From the hall, a sign of love and affection from my people in the hall. So it was a really difficult year for me. But then in the end, through this email from this person, God showed me that I was doing more than you could put your finger on that you could see during that year. And there were hidden things going on that you can't possibly verify that I was doing. Do you trust in me? Even when you go through bad experiences in your life, do you trust in me as your Lord and Savior? So I'm offering that to you today to challenge you as well. If you're having difficult times and you look at your past history and you see things that didn't go well, maybe there's something else going on. And maybe someone's going to email you if you have a website in the future and show you that, hey, I'm not an idle God. I'm a loving God, and I am doing more things than you can possibly verify, put your finger on. Do you believe that? I do. And it was just an amazing week. So in spite of my spat with a family member, God is good. Freezer full of fish. A wonderful congregation full of loving parishioners. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let me end with a little meditation from Jesus Lives. Today, tomorrow. This is Jesus Lives. What I search for in my children is an awakened soul that thrills to the joy of my presence. However, you are often subject to a slumbering soul, taking for granted your life with all its blessings, being overly focused on negative things, buying into the world's version of the good life. I want to help you break free from these worldly weights so your soul can soar in the heights with me. Yearning for an awakened soul is half the battle. Many of my children view devotion to me as a duty, and they look elsewhere for their pleasures. They fail to understand that the joy of my presence outshines even the most delightful earthly joy. Of course, it is not either or situation. You don't have to choose between enjoying me or enjoying the many good gifts I provide. It is simply a matter of priorities. I want you to treasure me above all else. The more fully you enjoy me, the more capacity you have to appreciate the blessings I shower upon you. As you delight in me, I am free to bless you bountifully. If you keep me first in your life, my good gifts will not become idols. Delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires and secret positions of your heart. Amen.